The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
I want to say good morning to Rachel Scanlon. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem. Good to be here.
Yeah, you were, what, 35 years old, I think, when for the purpose of our story, your life started to change. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about yourself up until that point.
So I suppose I was living my life. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed my life. Anybody who knows me would know I enjoyed a drink or two.
Yeah.
And a good party or two.
Yeah.
And
sounds normal to me.
Yeah. And I was single up until I was 34, and I met Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I had travelled, and I had lived in Chicago for a few years, and I travelled to Australia, and life was good. I enjoyed my life. Everything was good.
A life well lived to that point.
Yes,
good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
What happened?
So I met Kevin. We knew fairly soon on that he was the one, and we started trying to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And quite soon on, I had a positive pregnancy test and thought to myself, this was great, couldn't believe it, it was amazing. But that was just the beginning of our really, really long journey, when that pregnancy test turned from positive to negative within 24 hours.
That's swift, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm. And that was a chemical pregnancy, which basically means your egg fertilizes with the sperm, but it doesn't implant into your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the test can change really quickly.
And that was in 2009?
That was in 2009,
which was a pretty horrible year for Kevin, essentially, and then for both of you as a result.
Yes, it was. Kevin lost his younger brother, and then a few months later, he lost his mom. So, yeah, that was a really, really difficult year. And I suppose for us, we just kind of went on the back burner. It just wasn't the main focus.
Of course. But it came back into focus ultimately. And, one of the positive things about a more modern Ireland is that we can talk about things like miscarriages in a frank way. And I don't mean that in a cold way, by the way, or in an emotional way, because it's just a desperately difficult situation to have to face into. But you faced into it more than once.
Yeah, we did, Ryan. Like, we had a lot of miscarriages and a lot of early miscarriages and a lot of later miscarriages. But yes, we had a lot. And so we sought treatment. I went to a GP to kind of explain my story. And with that GP, and I suppose this is also kind of probably Ireland, but I explained that we were trying for a baby, and she immediately looked at my wedding finger, and I just thought, because we weren't married, and I just thought, I just want to go to a GP that's a bit more progressive.
So you found one?
So I found one, and she referred me to a great doctor from New Zealand, and he really helped me through. I was with him for years, and he really kind of started me on the road to IVF.
Right, and this was not just any old road to IVF. Yeah, I've never heard of anything quite like your story. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, do me a favour for people out there who really don't know what the IVF process is, because I think physically and emotionally it is not an easy road to travel. So could you give me a step-by-step, obviously without going into absolutely every scintilla of detail, but a rough guide, if you like, to be crude about it, to how this works?
So, yeah, it's a long old process.
Mm.
It depends on, different women have different experiences, obviously, and different clinics treat everybody, obviously, very differently.
Sure.
Everybody's body is different, but there's different protocols that you can go on. And what I found myself on more than once was a protocol where you down-regulate, which is your body is kind of suppressed into a menopause-like state.
Mm.
And I suppose it's to allow the clinic to take over the regulation of your body. And so then, and so you stop producing eggs so that the drugs can take over and produce the eggs for you. Mm-hmm. And so you're suppressed into kind of a menopause state, and you take, then you start, and that probably lasts for a couple of weeks. And then you start injecting yourself with hormones to produce follicles that will eventually produce eggs. And so you're injecting yourself every evening. Sometimes more than once a day, twice a day sometimes. And that produces follicles then. And you're scanned on a regular basis through that period to make sure that you're not overstimulated, so you're not producing too many follicles, or that you're not understimulated, so that you're not producing enough. So you're scanned at all times.
Are there side effects, Rachel? Or?
There are. Like, you're pumping your body full of hormones.
Of course,
so
yeah.
Your moods are up and down. You're all over the place. You're okay. My other half sitting beside me laughing here.
He's nodding up. I remember that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're hard to live with. You know, it's difficult.
It's okay.
And you're bloated as well. Your stomach is bloated. You actually look like you're pregnant because your ovaries are just bulging. You're just a hot mess, really.
That's one way of putting it. Okay. Give me an example of one of your hardest days in this whole process.
So there was a few. So I should say when you inject yourself after that process, they do a retrieval, so they take eggs out,
okay,
and they mix them with the sperm and they produce embryos. And so I suppose at the beginning of this process, the first IVF that we did, probably the hardest. One of the hardest, looking back, one of the hardest periods for me was when that first IVF didn't work. And I suppose, you know, you can become really, when you look back, I was so naive, but I had so much hope. And I think that, you know, women doing this, and you're spending so much money, it's such a financial burden. You spend so much money, and then you go through all of these injections, and you're taking all these hormones, and it takes so long. And then you eventually get to a point where you're taking a test or, you know, my first time, I didn't even get to take the test. My period just arrived like nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. Like, we hadn't spent all this money. Like, I hadn't taken all these injections. And I was absolutely heartbroken the first time it didn't work.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because you felt, well, that didn't work the one way we were trying it. This one will, and now therefore there's a sort of an arrogance, but there's a confidence and belief that this is the system.
Yeah, and there's a hope. Mm. Now I feel like when you've had so much, you've been trying for so long that you're disappointed when you're not doing it yourself. So you think that when medical intervention takes place and science takes place, that, you know, this will work. Like, this is it, you know. And then when it doesn't, it's just crushing. It's so disappointing and so hard, and a heartache.
How many times did you go through IVF?
So, and I suppose this is, you know, to some people this number will be outrageous, and to some people it will be, you know, other women will have gone through this, but we did 13 IVFs.
In how many clinics?
In four.
Over how many years?
Over 6 years.
In how many countries?
In three countries.
Did you want to have a baby, Rachel? Is this...
I was on a mission, Brian. I was on a mission. I think how I felt about it was that there was a plan, you know, and there was, we were going from an IVF to an IVF, there was always a plan, you mm-hmm. know, so that kept me going. That kept me hopeful. You know, I do an IVF, it didn't work. And so you'd move on to the next plan. Okay, what's the next plan? What's our next journey? Like, what's our next road? You know,
And there are two things that are coming out at me with your story, Rachel, and I ask them both respectfully. One is, there's a lot of people will say they do IVF once, and they feel like they were beaten up around the place emotionally and physically. They might try it twice, and then they'll say, I can't afford to. We'll get that in a second, but I can't do it. You went 13 times. It wouldn't be recommended for everyone. I mean, there's a regulation issue, and there's a personal choice issue, whatever you want to call it. We don't need to get into the morality or the politics of it, other than to say your choice was to do this, and we'll get to that in just a second. But you put yourself through a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I suppose some, I need to caveat it by saying some of those 13 times would have been when we started the process and maybe I didn't produce enough eggs and I didn't produce, or I overproduced eggs and we didn't go through the full process. Mm-hmm. So some of it was that, but the most majority of those goes were full IVFs. And yeah, that's a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah.
But I suppose it was over a period of 6 years. So...
Let me ask you the vulgar question about cost. That's a lot of countries, a lot of travel. That's a lot of the IVF doesn't come cheap. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was difficult. Like, it's very difficult. We got assistance from a family member who helped us out. And I understand that we're very lucky. The financial burden of this is huge. And if there's women going through it at the moment, it's really, really expensive. And when it doesn't work, you've got absolutely nothing to show for it. You know, like, as my dad always says, it's like throwing money over a half door. You know, like, that's what it is, because you've nothing to show for it. So the financial element of it is huge, huge.
I want you to take us to a place called Wild and Green in a little place called Milltown, which is in Dublin. And Wild and Green is a delicatessen sort of coffee shop. Okay, and there's a bathroom there, a toilet, a bathroom. Take us into that bathroom and give us a time and a place, a time and a date, if you could.
Yeah, so that was July 2017. 2014.
14. How old were you?
I was 41.
And you're sitting in the toilet of this restaurant.
And I'm sitting in the toilet of this restaurant and I took a pregnancy test. And I got back into my car and I looked at it and there was a little faint pink second line.
Now, before we get to that beautiful potential story, why were you in the bathroom of this deli restaurant?
I don't know what brought me to that. I used to go there all the time to get my lunch.
Okay.
And it also, the synchronicity of it is I used to go to school there. That used to be St. Anne's in Millstead, and I used to go to school there. And
was there a chemist nearby by any chance?
Yeah, there is a chemist nearby.
Okay. You used the beautiful word synchronicity there, Rachel. Yeah, this is all coming together like a good plan on the A-team. Okay. So let's bring you back into the car now. You're looking at the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, I suppose, Ryan, we've been here before, you know, and so I at that point I was probably less naive, and I was wiser about the situation and wiser about the process, and so there was a glimmer of hope, but there was also peppered with reality, and that this could easily be taken away, so. You know, there is that.
And who emerged into the world ultimately?
So Eve Lily Curtin emerged into the world on the 31st of March, 2015.
I feel relieved myself. Honest to God. I should feel a burden has been lifted from my shoulders. I mean, you know I say that in jest, but I mean, that is extraordinary. So Eve arrived then, a little dote of a girl.
Yes, Eve arrived, that was 2015. And then we said we always wanted, would have loved to have had a sibling.
Okay.
So we went again, and we had another miscarriage. And then on the 28th of July, 2017,
now,
for a little.
Yes, where did you discover the second one, that you were pregnant with your second and third?
Back down in good old Wild and Green again.
Were you actually in the bathroom with your pregnancy test?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it had just brought us luck in 2014.
Your lucky toilet. It was your lucky toilet.
My lucky toilet. It's glamour. It's glamour to the max.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, so Aaron was born in
28th July 2017.
Congratulations. So you have two girls.
Yes, two gorgeous girls. Yeah.
The question I was going to ask was it worth it? But I think that's a ridiculous question, because clearly it was. The next question was it easy?
No. So, Ryan, I suppose with all of that, all of those miscarriages, all of those failed IVFs, that all comes at a cost. And I suppose every failed IVF and every miscarriage was, I didn't deal with it at the time. I pushed it all down, just, you know, got on with it, kind of would have had a failed IVF or a miscarriage and just would have gone on to the next one. So what's the plan? You know, move on to the next thing. And I never processed anything. I never dealt with anything. And I had friends who supported me. I had my friend in America who had gone through IVF, and she was a massive support. I had another friend who was the initiator of me writing a blog. Her name is Deborah Brock from NUA Fertility. And Deborah persuaded me to write a blog about my experiences because she's trying to help other women going through this. And so I did. And the reason I wrote that is because I did want to help other women, because I didn't deal with what I was going through at the time at all. I didn't process it. I just kept on pushing things down and moving on. Mm-hmm. And so after my two girls were born, it all hit me like a train. I like crashed into a wall after Erin was born. And it all, because that stuff just follows you. You know, it's grief and it's trauma. And if you don't deal with that, it comes and it finds you.
And how did you confront it?
Well, it confronted me, really. So I had to deal with it. And so I got help, Ryan. Yeah, I just talked to somebody and processed it. And I think Deborah asking me to write the blog just came at a really good time. I felt like there was enough time had elapsed and I was able to look back objectively and it wasn't raw anymore.
Good Lord. A Cork man, self-described, says, it never worked for us, the IVF. It is emotional savagery. That's quite an expression. He said, we adopted a child, thank God, and they're happy, which is good. Another says, it took us 12 years in total, but we're very proud parents to two wonderful children through adoption. Mm-hmm. IVF isn't the only option for couples. And it's brave of Rachel to share her story. It's great to hear IVF being spoken about. I'm also 41 and my husband and I were at the start of our IVF experience after two miscarriages. But your Rachel's story this morning gives me hope. So thank you for that. The National Infertility Support and Information Group is in Cork if people need to feel that they'd like to talk to somebody about this, they can. Rachel, I thank you so much for telling us your story this morning. You told it so well. So clearly, and without confusing me at all, I feel very enlightened on the subject, and thank you for that, and congratulations to you and your partner and the two girls.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, I wish you every happiness. I mean that.
Thanks a lot,
okay.
Ryan.
Okay, see you soon, Rachel. Thanks for your
Take
time
care.
Today. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Rachel. Rachel Scanlon joining us live on the program this morning to talk about her extraordinary experience. At the text 51551, you can email ryan@rte.ie. It's 11 minutes to 10.